Hey, what's happening? This is TC Carson, and you are listening to ACMG's Talk Time Live. And this is Kratos. Keep listening.
Here comes a new challenger. Time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, returning to the show is one of Philly's finest in the world of hip-hop, geek culture, and fan-based entertainment, if you will. He has been everywhere from Budweiser promos, San Diego Comic-Con panels, fighting the evil and diabolical Alex Trebek, and even WWE SmackDown as pretty much the muscle for the New Day. So, folks, I give you none other than the one and only returning to the show, Random, a.k.a. Megaran. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, Dax? How are you?
Man, just trying to keep breathing, trying to do what I got to do and have fun doing it. What can I say? You know how it is.
I know.
Thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on. The last time you were on the show, it was really very educational and inspirational at the same time. I mean, like, you've become one of my heroes after pretty much listening to your story and such, man. And always great to see you go through the struggle, go through the hustle, and, you know, go through and, you know, reap the rewards of it. You know, never an easy thing in the world, but definitely you put it down there in the shows. So, you know, appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.
So you're in Arizona right now. Still not 100 degrees over there by any chance, is it?
Yeah, it's always 100 degrees. It's like perpetually hot here.
That's in, like, when we were heading to San Diego, Arizona was like the mid stop for that. And it was the first time I've ever been to Arizona, but I was in the airport, so you know you didn't feel the effects of that.
Nah.
And I looked at the weather, and I was like, holy crap. If I go out there, I'll explode.
Yeah, it's nuts, man, especially in the summer. San Diego is our escape. Everybody here knows that. They go to San Diego because it's just so much cooler.
Oh,
yeah.
I was telling people, I think my last interview was with Jeffrey Thorne, who's the writer of Black Panther's Avengers Quest, the animated series that's coming soon.
Nice.
And, you know, he said he used to live in Washington. He left to go to San Diego, to live in San Diego or in that region because of it. And I remember when we were there, it was like, what, 70 degrees? Like that. It was beautiful. It was like even 80, it was still like a beautiful breeze out there. Meanwhile, back in Philly, I felt so bad because it was like it was stunting like crazy out there. It was people were just melting.
Yeah, man. I noticed that when I was back home for a little bit. I was in New York and it rained and it got really humid and nasty.
Yeah.
And man, I sweat so much out there. And I'm like, I don't even sweat that much in Phoenix. I feel like the humidity is just a huge difference.
Yeah.
When people say, oh, it's a dry heat. Like, it sounds crazy when you say 110, but it's a dry heat. But honestly, I'd rather have 110 there than like 92 on the East Coast.
And humid.
And humid.
Dry heat. That's like saying it's a virgin drink. Whatever. So we're going to talk a lot of things here. We're going to, you know, talk about what's going on in your road to hip hop and music and everything. We're going to talk about the games, of course. But before we do that, you Easter egged a lot of us here in ACMG. I will be remiss if I don't talk about this. You know, before we even talk about the San Diego Comic-Con panel that you did, it was really good. We're definitely going to talk about that. You made an appearance. Here I am watching my normal WWE SmackDown every Tuesday night. And lo and behold, there's the infamous rap battle segment that, you know, they have rap battle segments before. You know what comes out of these things. So, you know, it's the Usos, which I became a really big fan when they went heel all of a sudden. And the New Day, which I'm always a fan of. And I know you have acquaintance with it, but all of a sudden, these guys come out to the ring to come out there represent with their entourage. Some dude that looks very familiar just comes down and behind them. And I stop my tracks for a minute. I'm like, oh, whoa. my wife was like, what's going on? That's one of our ACMG members right there. And I know you're an acquaintance with Xavier Woods mostly in the New Day. How did this come about?
Oh man, it was pretty crazy.
It
felt like
crazy.
And I didn't believe it or know it was going to happen until that day. So I didn't have time to like boast and brag or tell people, "Hey, watch SmackDown." You know, I just wanted to keep it quiet because Nothing in WWE is final until it happens.
Exactly.
So everything's subject to change up until the minute. And literally, like, maybe 2 weeks before that, Xavier contacts me and says, hey, we're thinking about doing a rap battle thing. Mm-hmm. And and it's going to be in Phoenix. And I know you live there. So are you going to be around?
Right.
And I'm like, well, actually, yeah, that'll be fun. And he's like, well, how would you like to, like, be part of our entourage for that? And I'm like, oh, heck yeah, let's do it. And originally their plan was to do it in an other location, like pre-tape it early in the morning.
Oh, you mean like in Tuesday. A little underground spot?
Yeah, like we would find, and I would help them find a location, like a little rundown warehouse.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of people around, have it eight dark, mile, looking like
much.
A, yeah, looking like 8 Mile. And for whatever reason, they were like, oh, we're just going to do it live. And I was like, oh, I thought that meant like I'm not going to be a part of it.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, well, it'll be fun. And he's like, no, we still want you in the entourage.
Right.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, send an email to this guy who handles talent stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he should write you back. And I sent an email, and he didn't write me back until the evening before the show.
Right.
And he then gave me this list of things like, okay, just wear all black and I'll see you in the morning at 11. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then it had one note at the bottom. It said, oh, bring anything that you would bring to a rap battle. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, right.
what in the world? Like, what does that mean? Like,
bring a mic? Bring
a mic?
Turntable? You know, bring
a big chain to wear?
Yeah, right?
I mean, I just didn't understand that. So
this
I don't
is WWE,
know.
So you know, there is some reserve sometime.
Exactly. Like, this is probably an older guy who's probably never seen a rap battle. It was just like, bring what you would bring.
Yeah.
Turns out, so it happens on July 4th. So they're planning to do these, you know, outlandish costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there, and Woods asked me, like, hey, what time did he tell you to be there? I was like, 11. He's like, oh, good. That's what time I have to be there. So why don't we just go together? And I'm like, excellent. So I'm so glad we went together, because if I went solo, I probably would have been sent one way, like
right,
with
exactly.
the extras.
You got somebody that can lead you right into the back.
And just, you know, sit in the corner and wait for 4 hours.
Right.
But going in with him, I was able to kind of just walk through talent and talk to people and go to catering. And I mean, it was just an amazing time. And just watching my, like, childhood heroes all walking by me and, you know, working and like, just being a fly on the wall was just the coolest thing.
This is a bucket list right here.
Oh, totally. And Woods, like, totally involved me. So they would have conversations. He'd introduce me to people. He'd kind of put me over, like, man, this is the guy I told you about that does mm-hmm. the video game raps. He's so cool. He's so dope. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, he's good. I remember you telling me about that. You know, so, like, a bunch of guys were like, yeah, I remember you talking to me about this guy.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Woods is actually pretty cool when it comes to that. You know Cutman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he's like my neighbor. He's like literally down the street from me.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember listening to Jericho's podcast and Woods was in there, and he gave him a shout out, and they were just having a conversation about chiptunes. I was like, why am I always just happen to be at the right place with these things? This is a pattern.
That's so cool. Yeah. Woods is really good at that, like giving people props and telling people about other people. So the whole time I'm around, he's just like, yo, you got to know this guy. You got to meet this guy. Like, he's introducing me to guys who work in corporate.
Wow.
You know, different guys. And Wale was also there. He was the host.
Right. Were you aware of that at the time? You didn't know anything that was going on?
He told me they were going to get Wale.
Yeah.
So, I did know. And Wale and I had met. We did the Wale Mania event.
I heard about that. I heard that was pretty good, too.
It was really awesome. And so we had met a bunch of times. Plus, the New Day has introduced me to him before. We had a crazy night in Vegas where we went to one of his concerts and had a really fun night. So I've met him a couple times. So seeing him there and another rapper, Smoke Dizza, was there, guys that I had met. So that made me feel a little more comfortable. But still, we were freaking backstage. So we're all trying to, like, maintain our coolness while, like, exploding on the inside. And so he had me sign some papers and some things in there, like, you know, liability waivers and all that.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, now it's time for the dress rehearsal. So we go out into the ring, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we got
to. You're at the ring pre-audience. Nobody there. Like,
yeah, so, yeah, nobody in the arena.
Empty arena. We're just
in the ring, like walking the aisle, like was like, come up here, walk down this aisle, like let me show you like what it feels like. And I'm like, oh my god,
that's so cool.
And yeah, it was amazing.
That's really, really nice of him to do all that.
Yeah, yeah, he went above and beyond, man. I have to shout him out infinitely for that. So we had some really good times. A lot of people have asked me, the number one question was, did I help write raps for the back rap?
So, thank you for mentioning that.
I have to set the record straight and let everybody know I did not write raps. Now, I listened to the raps beforehand,
yeah,
and I offered suggestions and delivery and things like that.
Right.
But I did not write any. I didn't say, "Oh, you should say this." Blah now, blah, granted, blah blah now, blah,
granted,
blah.
Yeah, because I mean, granted, they have done it before, prior to your appearance on there. But every once in a while, I was just like that corner of your mind. It was like, Because Usos was putting it out really hard, and these guys are putting it out really hard. Think about it. You were probably in one of the best segments of the year.
I mean, a lot of people say that, and I'm really thankful. Like, I thought this was going to be honest. I thought this was going to be an absolute train wreck.
You know how you've seen previous rap battles in WWE.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little cringe worthy, but no, man. Like, when I watched it back, I was like, this is dope. They nailed it, man.
Oh, they hit hard. It wasn't even a rap battle. It was more of like a roast.
Yeah, it really was.
To areas that, like, in live, that was like, whoa.
And that was the funniest thing is when we did the dress rehearsal, the New Day shared their verses, but the Usos did not share their verses.
Right.
So. And everybody's like, oh, why don't you want to share? Oh, you scared? And they were like, nah, we'd rather let you get the real reaction in real time, you know? And
it was good.
And Road Dogg, who wrote the segment, was like, well, just don't screw me over. This is a PG show. Like, don't play. Like, don't try to get out there and speak something by me on live TV.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get everybody in trouble. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that. Don't worry. And that's kind of, to me, why I feel like the Usos had the advantage is that they heard, they already were able to hear and write rebuttals based on New Day's lines.
Yeah.
And so that gives you the advantage in a battle rap situation.
Mm-hmm.
And even after we were done and we got backstage, they're all like in the Usos' face for real. Like, no, man, you guys won. Like that wasn't supposed to happen. you guys got us, man. No, that's not cool.
So it's pretty much a rib, sounds like.
Yeah, everybody was having fun, but they were just like, man, like, it's a good thing we wrote in a disqualification to happen, because if the crowd would have decided, like...
Somebody had to have stepped in at that time. That was greatly done, and Wally did a great job as well, you know.
Yeah, he even lost the shoe in there and still maintained his composure.
It was great. It was absolutely great. It was like one of those... You know, there's not much to remember these days in wrestling, unfortunately. That one stuck out more than anything. Well, not even just because of my acquaintance with you and I know who you are, but just in itself, the premise of it and everything that happened. It was just so unexpected. It was great. It was live. And you're right. You could tell by the reactions, especially Xavier's face, maybe on certain issues. That it just came out. I mean, afterwards, do you know if Road Dogg liked it or was he shaking?
Oh, yeah, he was okay. He, it turns out that they shared it with Road Dogg privately.
Yeah.
Because they have to clear everything.
Yeah.
But they didn't share with everyone else. We had to get one line. Kofi said something about weenie, the weenie do and the hot dog prop. He said, yeah, they had to clear that. And like, it was literally almost like an 11th hour thing where they were like, I think it's okay, but I just got to check. I got to check with Vince, and Vince wasn't there that day.
Right.
So they were like, everything has to go through him.
Oh,
so,
boy.
So they had to get on a call with them to figure it out. And then maybe about an hour before doors open, they were like, okay, it's cleared. You're good.
Well, I know that's really crazy because I listen to Wrestling Observer all the time, and Dave Meltzer always says that, like, nothing gets past him. You know, at the end, at the last line of the, of everything, he still gets the final word no matter what. That's really cool that, that you really confirmed that right there. Not that I would doubt Dave Meltzer.
Oh, people. Oh, totally. Like nothing goes, nothing gets done without him hearing it. And
I dig that.
That's so crazy when it was such a huge show, you know, and you know, it's like you got a 3-hour Monday Night Raw, a 2-hour SmackDown and this other show, but nothing goes on TV without going by him. You know, and he's so busy, but yet he still gets the final approval on everything.
You don't agree with everything that he does and his philosophies to this day, but you got to respect his hustle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Got to respect his hustle. Just real quick before we move on to, because I wanted to, we're still going to talk wrestling, but it's going to be related to your music. But okay. How did you and Xavier meet?
Oh man. Okay, that was a fun story because maybe about, I'm thinking maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he emailed me. And at the time I was like casual wrestling fan, but not like not deep into it. And he had at the time, I think just signed to Florida Championship Wrestling. And he emailed me and was like, "Hey, at FCW, they let us pick our own music, and I came across one of your songs that I really like. Do you mind if I come out to it?" And I was like, "Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you can use it." And
do you remember which one it was?
It was a song called Looking Up on the Mega Ran 10 album.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Wait, I have like, that album. I know which one. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
There are some old YouTube clips of him in FCW coming out to that song.
Nice.
So that's pretty awesome. I was like, yeah, that's a dream come true. Of course you can use it to come out to. And so that made me start watching a little more.
Right.
And then he's like, "Oh, good news. FCW just got bought by WWE and is going to be changing their name to NXT.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, wow, this is exciting."
Yeah.
And what does this mean? He's like, "Well, I don't know, but, you know, we're doing well down here. And maybe if this keeps up, you know, I'll make it to Monday Night Raw."
Wow.
And years later, you know, things started falling into place. And he starts telling me the idea about New Day, like before it's fully fleshed out. He's like, "You know, I'm going to have a couple of my friends and we're going to just be like really silly black guys and just have fun, you know." And they're trying to direct it one way, but we're trying our best to just, you know, have fun and be ourselves with it.
Very interesting, you know, concept, because it was going to like a your cliche church style thing going on. And, you know, somehow, some way, those guys were able to turn it around into their own thing and end up booking themselves to some extent, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unbelievable that to go from that street preacher kind of thing, direction it was going in, to like just some silly guys with unicorn magic and, you know, and just having fun.
They're their own subculture right about now. You can't describe what exactly they are, but they're just fun.
It's just fun. And it just was working. And now, I mean, since then, and they've saw that it worked, they've trusted these guys so much. And they were even telling me, like, we have a pretty long leash when it comes to creative.
Yeah.
Because we've done some things that have worked out. And, you know, the bottom line is always the bottom line. So they've made the money, to be quite honest. So now that your ideas have made the company money, they're willing to listen to your next idea, you know? Nice. And so now when they say rap battle, they're like, "All right, well, tell us what you got in mind." And then and they're able to work it out. Right. The best part of the rap battle story, though, of being there that day was before they went on air, they were practicing and they wanted me to kind of sit in the room with them and listen to them practice these lines and say them, you know. They're really amazing at memory. Like, memorization stuff has just been, like, they blew me away with how well they memorize stuff.
Right.
But I'm sure they, like, maybe take classes on it or something like that.
But even still, it's like the horseman rule. They play off of each other and, you know, one inspires another. Iron sharpens iron, so to speak. So that probably helps out, too.
Oh, yeah. So they write notes maybe, like, in their iPhone, and then they just do the rest, and it just flows together nicely. So we're in the room, and they're practicing their lines, and someone knocks on the door, and lo and behold, it's John Cena. Who comes in the room? And this is like completely unreal. This looks like something like that would have just been scripted in a reality show.
Right.
So John Cena comes in the room.
But there were no cameras, like, of course.
No cameras. And I'm like, holy crap. And this was like his return. Yeah. You know, at this time, he hadn't been back.
It is July 4th. Yeah.
Yeah. He hadn't been back for a while. So I guess he's just going around seeing everybody and saying hi. And they're all like, "Yo, it's John Cena." And I'm just like, oh, hi, John Cena. So yeah, he comes in the room. He's like, okay, I understand you guys are doing a rap battle today. I'm very proud. You know, this is a tradition we started a long time ago, and we haven't done it in a while. So I know you guys will do well. And he's like, actually, I will say this. I'm a little disappointed that you have a ghostwriter in the room. And he's talking about me. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, I swear, I am not the ghostwriter. Like, please don't say that.
So he was well aware of who you were.
Yeah, yeah. So he knew. Like, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you're the ghostwriter. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Like, just because I'm a rapper doesn't mean I wrote. No, no. And so as he's leaving, he's like, well, you know, just do a good job, guys. And, you know, it should be fun. And I was like, well, I actually was hoping, Mr. Cena, that you were coming in to, like, interject and that you were going to, like, interrupt this match and this rap battle and drop some Thuganomics bars. And he's like, no, no, my friend. Rap is a young man's game. And I am out of that.
So he really comes off like a real ring general, you know, to people in the back.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he really is. Like, he runs the ship. He's got so much support and respect that, you know, a lot of guys, they listen to him, and they definitely give him a whole lot of credence. And he was just really awesome. Like, he just came in and told some jokes and left.
That is the best. That is absolutely
That was the best part of it, for sure. Like, having an interaction with Cena.
Yeah.
So then I saw him like two more times backstage, and now he like knows who I am, and he stops and says, hey, how you doing? You good? Have you had some catering? You know, it's good, right? You know.
You know what's funny? You do sound just like him when you're describing him. Like, everything. That's how I watch Total, like, just a few episodes of Total Divas. So, like, there's the charismatic John Cena that's on in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then there's their, like, the prim and proper uptight. You know, I'm not uptight, but, like, you know, conduct like Cena.
Yep.
And I know how, I've heard how his dialect is, you know, behind the scenes. You really imitate that really well.
Thanks.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess that's the real John Cena. That is, you know, the real just kind of like man a few words, you know, short and to the point, very prim and proper.
Right, exactly.
That's Cena.
Just straight laced dude, just like Dragnet like.
Yeah, that's it. Joe Friday.
This is Joe Friday. And I was like, damn, that's it. You really? I mean, it's like the next best imitation next to Dusty. Doing a Dusty right there.
I can't really do Dusty. I tell you, baby, it's going down today right here, ACMG. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, daddy. Yeah.
You just got to get the wheezing part in during the microphone part, and you would get it right.
Yeah.
But
there is, oh man, there's an amazing, I forget which one it is, but WWE used to do a pay-per-view called Hog Wild.
Oh, I remember Hog Wild. Wait. Wasn't Hog Wild WCW?
Yes, it was WCW. And, right. And Dusty was the commentator on this particular one. It's Dusty, I think, Brain, and Tony Schiavone.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And at the very beginning, I wish I could remember what year it was, the fireworks go off to start the show.
Yeah.
And Dusty just really loudly in the microphone says, fireworks are going off at Hog Wild, baby. And like, it like startled me the first time I watched, so I never forget it. He's just like so hyped about these fireworks.
I tell you,
fireworks are going off.
I miss him so much because he was a guy, literally, in the 80s. During the Jim Crockett era, he's the guy that really got me in to wrestling because he came off so real. He came off so passionate about it. Like, and I'm going to segue to this right now because you actually, you know, during WrestleMania, you know, era season, you came out with your Matt Mania album, which I got to say, brother, that was hot.
Thank you. Good segue. Speaking of, we did a Dusty Rhodes track.
I was that's why I segue to it, because that one right there, American Dream, I got to tell you, I can tell how much of a wrestling fan you are when you manage to put in the Hard Times promo into your verses. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
that's badass.
Oh, totally. I feel like that was a must. I was almost done the song and I was like, oh, wait, you know, if I don't make some reference to Hard Times, like this is just, it's one of the greatest promos ever, if not the greatest.
I call it the greatest. It, like, yeah, I listen to it to this day, still to this day. And
yeah, it gets me going, man. I use it to get me going.
It's so relevant. That's the even crazy part. It's still relevant. And I'm a man up right now. I do tear out every once in a while when I listen to that because of how passionate he really gets at it. And you see things that's going on today and how, you know, people like us, you know, get handled.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to me, man. So listen to that. It's just like, and I heard that and I know almost every that's word real. Of that. And hearing you had that on American Dream was like, whoa. I much respect.
Thank you. But, I appreciate it.
But also, you Strong Style and Demon, which, you know, is two of my favorite songs right now because you got NXT with some of the best music ever with CFOs out there. Which, by the way, I'm going to segue again. First of all, before I even get to that part, what inspired you to come up with this album?
Well, you know, I love wrestling and I feel like it was just a natural progression. I'd done a lot gotten my first bit of notoriety from like video game inspired stuff.
Right.
And basically just taking the things that I love and, you know, putting my own spin on them musically and creatively. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't do that with the other thing that takes up so much of my time, which is wrestling. Right. And so that's really what I did. I didn't necessarily plan an entire album, but we just started working and more songs came together. The New Day song is probably my favorite.
Right.
The Strong Style as well. The Kenny Omega song.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that I really, really love. And like some people ask me like, man, this is the song. This should be their, you know, entrance theme or things like
and
that.
And it's like the MIDI version of it too. That's the cool part. It's
thank you.
It's like a really cool old school NES. You know,
yeah, that's what we tried to do, especially with the Strong Style when we were like, okay, well, let's flip it and go with the 8-bit version, some MIDI stuff, and just to give it something different, a different touch. And yeah, I'm really proud of how it came together, man. Shout out to Lynx Kinetic, the producer out in Phoenix, who hooked up a lot of those beats. And we recorded. We had a lot of late nights out there trying to knock these out. And what I would do is I would have them like leave the room and just put on highlight clips,
right?
You know, and I would just watch 2 hours of Dusty Rhodes highlights and write, you know, and write while I was watching.
WWE Network is a gem, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, man. And that was the formula. Like, he would throw on some stuff, and I would just go to work.
And thank them for putting out all the Jim Crockett promotion videos, because I've been binging off of that so much.
Oh yeah, man, that's the best part about it. I love the fact that it's got so much good stuff.
Well, I invested in the network ages ago just for the sole fact because I know they had the library. They didn't bring it out until like about a few months ago, and never really advertised it for some reason. And lo and behold, it's all there. And I'm like, son of a.
Right. It's just there.
Yeah, I just went from right to 86 and just never stopped. Talking about CFOs, which for those who don't know, these guys are the producers. If you're a wrestling fan, you should know this. These guys are the producers of some of the baddest music WWE has ever had an entrance theme since Jim Johnson, the legendary Jim Johnson. I saw that you got a picture and you got a chance to meet those guys, which is leading me to actually asking the following question. What's up with that?
Well, I really wish I could answer that, but I cannot.
Uh-huh.
So lips are sealed on that. I mean, I enjoy talking. I got to do that as John Cena. I cannot talk about that. But if something comes up, you will be the first one to know
as
soon as I can speak to the public.
Thank you, Captain PC. How was it getting a chance to meet those guys? I mean, that's phenomenal.
Man, it's dope, man. John, one of the guys from them, he messaged me a while back. And I was like, whoa, they actually know what I'm doing? Like, this is crazy. Like, they'd heard my stuff. They heard the TJ Perkins remix we did. And that was kind of like an in-between Matt Mania's like side project outlier. And I just loved the theme so much. I was like, we got to get to work. And we knocked something out from that. And he's like, dude, this is so dope. And I had a show in New York. And so he came out to the show and he's like, wow, man, like I really enjoy what you do. So let's stay in touch. And that was really it. Mm-hmm. And so they would send me like some of their productions that they did outside of WWE stuff. And, you know, just to get my opinions on stuff.
Wow.
And, same thing, I'd send them music. And so we had a session, not really a session, but we just sat together in the studio. I played them my new album, mm-hmm. which is coming out next Friday.
Nice.
And they enjoyed it and they played me some tracks and gave me a little bit of spoilers and some scoops. and by accident, probably, I'm sure.
Right.
But yeah. And it was stuff that wound up happening almost that night. Like they were working on the stuff for like Chad Gable, and yeah. and the beat was called Gable Benjamin, and I was like, Benjamin. So it literally happened that night. So it was like, okay. And I had like maybe 2 hours advance. But you know, that wasn't much of a scoop. But yeah, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. You like, named the song Gable Benjamin. What are you doing? Don't be tweeting that. You know? It was just something I picked up on as a producer. Like you named the song after what it's gonna be. So, stuff like that happened, and I was like, they enjoyed hearing my new stuff, and they're like, man, I want to maybe work with you on some of this, and you could work with us on some of what we're doing.
Right.
And that's basically what we're talking about, so hopefully that can happen. But just a combined, like, just being a fan of each other's work, and I love the fact that in 2017, you can simply be a fan of someone's work. And then they can be a fan of your work. Absolutely. And you guys can just meet up just like that, you know, off of a couple of tweets. And then the next thing you know, you can develop a relationship, you know. So I love social media for that reason.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, really, you can, you know, especially if you present yourself in the most professional of ways to people, they will see it. They will connect with you. They will admire. I mean, that's how this podcast and ACMG has been going. I mean, I've aligned myself with yourself and, you know, quite a few others, 19 others. I mean, some of them, you know, like Kyle Habert and Molly Flanagan and such, who I now like know on a name basis and everything. It's a really cool thing. I mean, you can do it.
Oh yeah, it can be done. It's really inspiring to know that everyone is reachable, you know, to some degree. You know, you just put out great content and reach out and hope for the best. And yeah, and a lot of times it can work out.
Absolutely. So let's switch gears real quick, and we're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, which my second appearance there. And the first time I went in, I believe 2014, and you know, I found out that you had a panel there. It was like after the fact that I already came back home. I was determined to say, we come back to San Diego Comic-Con, I'm making it to your panel, bar none. That's one of my biggest, you know, that was on the top of my list of everything, and I mean everything, that I could possibly do.
Oh, wow.
Over there. And I had the absolute pleasure and honor to be there and see you there. You know, once again, you were part of the annual comics and hip-hop combination panel. At the mecca of all things anime, comics, movies, and games. I was very happy to get to see you, get to see the rest of the crew that was, you know, representing this. It was a great panel. It was a very educational panel that was, you know, lurking into both cultures, if you will.
Yeah.
Can you absolutely, for those who don't know about it and those who you probably guaranteed interested in, can you talk about that panel and how important of that aspect of the art and pop culture and the fandom of it?
Oh man, it's so good. I love the fact that it continues to grow. You know, the panel sizes just get bigger and bigger. Now we had so many panelists and just some amazing people that I look up to, like Murs, Mark Seven, just so many amazing artists and musicians and things. And a guy named Patrick Reed puts it together every year. And he does it in San Francisco. He does it in San Diego. He does it in New York and a few other places, and has different panels, panelists each time. Like, so he's done it in Chicago with like Rhyme Fest and some other folks, you know, in New York with like Gene Gray and Pete Rock.
Yeah.
You know,
Pete Rock, huh?
So yeah, he's done it big. Wow. So New York Comic Con is coming up next month. So yeah. I'm sure he's going to do it again there. And in fact, I probably need to message him because I think I'm going to be out there.
Yeah. And that's the only one I haven't hit yet.
Oh man, it's getting up there with San Diego.
Everybody's saying that. Everybody is saying that. Even now they're starting. I don't know if they're doing exclusive yet, but that's all they need now.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that kind of contrasts them from San Diego, to be honest, is the exclusives. I heard the numbers is like almost meeting up with that at this point.
Yep. And it's just such a great look inside of the history of comics and hip hop, the beginnings of, you know, those connections and keeping those cultures connected and combined. And I think it's just such a great resource for anybody that's into either or both worlds, you know, to know that they've been interacting for quite some time.
Yeah.
And talking about hip hop comics and what hip hop comics can be and don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a rapping superhero.
Right.
You know, just a person who exists in hip hop culture who is a hero, you know, and it's fun to see.
DMC himself said, like, in interviews that, you know, part of what made Run DMC was in fact those comic books.
Yep.
You know, it believe it or not, and that's what, you know, led him to doing his own company now of his comic book series and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The question I always wanted to ask, and I don't know if this is like, this is probably a case by case basis with this question, mm-hmm. that I wanted to ask at the panel, was like, what inspires more? Is it the comic culture, or is it the music culture that inspires the comics, or the comics that inspires the the music or hip hop? You know, it's just one of those things.
I don't know. It's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. That's exactly what it is. Any given moment, any one could inspire the other.
Yeah.
I remember Murs talking about like his songs are inspired by comics, you know, which is why he called the new album Captain California. It's him creating a superhero, you know, through his storytelling. So, but then guys like Ted Lange, who's on the forum, a couple of the guys were talking about how they listened to Ghostface Killah, you know, while writing a new, you know, book.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been able to inspire both the other way, and it's almost like both want to be like the other, you know, like
right.
Run DMC is literally like our, you know, dynamic duo of rap, you know what I mean? It's definitely a superhero aspect. When I was watching Straight Outta Compton, I was like, man, these guys are the Avengers, you know, of rap, you know,
right.
And I totally felt that way. And just like when I see A Tribe Called Quest doing some amazing things, I'm like, oh my God, this is like the Fantastic Four, you know?
You know, that's a great analogy to that. Yeah, I would definitely see them as that.
Yeah, totally. So they're real life comic
characters. Feels cosmic anyway.
Totally.
So, you know, question I have for you, with all this traveling and all this, you know, constant on the go, like, have you had a chance to actually stop and look at everything that you have accomplished in this stage? Because, I mean, people do have misconceptions of the road that you go in. And anybody who's done anything that people see on TV or music, whatever, like, they think it's like it's just a straight road to prosperity. Mm-hmm. But have you gotten a chance to see like what you stop and see what you have accomplished, like just being in SmackDown, being on a Budweiser promo segment, you know, being on TMZ for God's sake, and getting a nod for that.
Almost forgot about that. You know, I don't give these things as much thought as I should. You know, I'm always looking on to the next thing.
Which you should.
You know, I have a song on the new album where I say, I don't look back unless I'm parallel parking. You know, just talking about how, you know, you got to look forward to the next thing, you know. And if you kind of rest on your laurels a bit, you can get a little complacent and be like, man, I made it. Look what I've done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing that there's just so much more potential and there's so much more unfinished work out there, you know, and knowing now, you know, that the sky's the limit. Like, I didn't think any of those things were possible,
right.
You know, that I've been able to accomplish none of them.
Right.
So now just to be able to be like, man, if I could do those things, what else can I do? You know, so now that just keeps me going in a bigger way. So I feel like if I rest, I'll save that for the book. When I write the book, and I actually am starting a book. I've been working on it for a while. I'm probably about half done.
Right.
And
like a whole chapter should be on how we met. I'm just saying.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
It's like one small chapter, but
mm-hmm. just one little piece.
This is next. Chapter 12. No, but every once in a while, I do, you know, tell people, especially, you know, when I go and do like multimedia development with clients and everything, every once in a while, you got to stop. Because sometimes we can be so much on the road of things. Sometimes we may not think we're not doing enough. And every mm-hmm. once in a while, some of the biggest and best things to do is just stop and just look back just for a few minutes to realize what damage you'd have made.
That's a good point. Yeah, because I don't do that enough. And that's true, man. I need to think about those things. Like, man, look at how far we've come.
A lot of times it revitalizes.
Yeah, and it definitely can. So I agree with you on that. That's something I should do more often.
And I don't know if you've heard your album in a while, but RNDM, you should really go mm-hmm. back and listen to that, because that was a phenomenal album.
Thank you.
I still listen, you know, sing That's What I Believe In every morning. That is one of the best wake up, uplift, time to go out, walk, work out, get it done songs in my playlist right now.
Thank you so much. That's dope, man. I'm very proud of that album, man. And I worked a real long time on it, mm-hmm. and I'm so proud of it and how it's coming together, and just the amount of people it's touched, and that revitalized my confidence. You know, as a guy who had particularly made music that was, you know, based on video games, and having to fight that pressure that I talk about in the meeting a bit on there about people wanting a new game flip, like, oh mm-hmm. man, it's a new game out, talk about a new game. And it's like, well, no, I want to talk about some real things that are important to me. Ah, oh, but what game is it going to be though? It's like, well, not really a game, you know. I think just trying to get out of my own shadow and out of my
and
own
be,
way
be diverse and be different, you know.
Yeah,
I felt like RNDM actually was your Any Heartbreak. If you understand what that is.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, this is no more Candy Girl for New Edition. You're grown up. You're, you know, trying something new. This is much more evolved side of you.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think really I found a formula. Like, I found something that I really love to do, and I found a way to do it. And I was so worried about making an album that didn't include a lot of game stuff and how it would be received. But that kind of got that monkey off my back, you know, like, now I know that I can do it. And so the new album, Extra Credit, is basically an extension of that. It's like a companion piece to RNDM.
Nice.
It's a shorter album, and it has some remixes on it from the RNDM songs.
Nice.
So some of my favorite songs have been remixed, as well as adding new tracks that have either were recorded around that same time or share kind of some of those same sentiments, but expanded a bit more, you know. So really looking forward to everybody hearing that this Friday.
Right. So, the question I have, and this, you might have already answered it. If somebody's never heard of your music before, or has heard of your music before, and they come up to you and they ask, what would be the best Mega Ran, a.k.a. Random, album or song to listen to? What would you recommend?
One song?
I said no. Album, actually. Let's go album. Doesn't be a lot because you do so
even,
much.
Yeah, I got a lot of albums. Honestly, I would say a good first song is Dream Master.
Mm-hmm.
Dream Master tells the story of me from the beginning to now. And I think that's something you could... you could get a lot of information about me, as well as, you know, what I think, how I feel, and what my songwriting process is like and where it's come from. So I think that's a big one. I would say Push from The Call is another essential listening. Grow Up from the Mega Ran album, Splash Woman. Then I would say like favorite song, Believe and Infinite Lives from RNDM, and
some Infinite Lives are really good too. I agree with that.
Thank you. So I think those would be like essential listening. Like, if you heard those like six, you would get a very good idea of where I am on everything and where I come from.
Cool. Rand, thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, I got about three more questions for you, but I just want to say thank you. This is a pleasure being back on the show with you to talk about all of the things that you're going on right now, man. I've enjoyed myself immensely here. So,
thanks, man.
Just a few more questions. We're going to talk games real quick. What's on your game list these days?
Nah, man. These days, I just got the new Madden, so I'll play a little bit of that.
You got enough time for that?
Not really. I'll play a game or two, and then I'm back out the house.
Right.
That's why I really enjoy the Nintendo Switch.
I was about to say, is it on Switch yet?
No. But that's been what my main focus has been, Switch games. So,
am I.
I've been playing Sonic Mania.
How do you like that? Because I've heard great reviews on it.
I like it, man. The level design is a little crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't figure out where to go sometimes, but that's kind of a Sonic thing. But it's fun. It's super fun. It feels like the old days, man. It feels like Genesis. And that brings back some really positive memories for me.
Yeah.
So I might be caught up in the nostalgia. So see me in another week or so. And if I still like it. What else? I just got Splatoon 2, and I love that.
Right.
I hadn't even played the first Splatoon, but, man, it's such a good game.
Yeah.
Having a lot of fun with that. I just bought ARMS.
I love that game.
Yeah. I love it so far.
A new character's on his way. Is coming soon.
I heard that. Yeah, I got to update it so I can get that. And then Zelda, you know, I've been really in love with Zelda. Not yet. I've been kind of taking my time.
Yeah, you got
I'm just
to.
Enjoying it.
I had to take breaks off of that one.
Yeah, I could easily run through it, but I'm like, you know, I'm just having so much fun. It's almost like a perfect game, man.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I've just never had that feeling before with a game, not for a long time.
I never felt more proud to have beaten a game that ever until, you know, because Zelda games, I've only beaten a few. I've played more, but I've only beaten a few Zelda games, and I was really happy that was one of the games that I finished through. It's just so great.
It's amazing. So good.
I I have invested in the Switch. I brought it with me to San Diego. I had Yoshinori Ono actually sign it.
Wow.
So
amazing.
That thing is on, like, it's now in a plastic, you know, case right now, so I won't smudge the thing any more than I already did. And it's not going to, until I find out a better, you know, station to play it on my actual screen. I'm playing it only portable only. So I can't wait. I can't wait for Pokken Tournament when it comes out. It's my thing. Dragon Ball Xenoverse is coming out like next month as well. WWE 2K18. I'm so dying to see how that plays on the Switch.
Yeah.
I was done. When they announced it, I'm never seeing the PlayStation ever again. So, I am definitely. So, I mean, even if you haven't had a chance, and this is the last question, by the way, even if you didn't have the chance to play everything, what is your game of the year? Or what do you think will be the game of the year this year? There's a lot of this is a fighting game year too, by the way.
It is. Everybody's into Tekken 7, which I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is tough.
It is. can't wait for them damn game awards.
I mean, Zelda was this year, right? That was March.
Oh,
right?
Zelda. I think Zelda, without a doubt, may be actually possibly. I mean, we haven't seen Mario Odyssey yet.
I played a little bit of it at E3,
right.
And it seems fun to me. It's a lot like Mario 64,
right?
Which I missed, and I love that. Zelda's my game of the year right now. Yeah. And I haven't played everything, honestly. Second is why can't I think of the name now? The PlayStation exclusive game, with the hunting and all that stuff.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, Horizon is my second.
So you play both of these, and there's this huge debate about the two games, because there's some similarities to the games.
They're both similar, yeah.
Yeah, and both beautiful, and both, like, it'd be cool if it was a tie. But you think Zelda actually is heading this?
I think Zelda's gonna take it. I mean, I haven't even messed with the DLC yet, but
it's hard.
I heard it's just really hard dungeon stuff. Yeah, you know,
they start you with nothing, and you gotta work it. It's like life. You start off with nothing, you gotta work your way up. It's
like life, okay. All right. I love it a lot. So that's my pick, honestly, and it's really close with Horizon.
Right. All right. You heard it from here first, people. So what's next up for you now? You got the new album coming this Friday. You know, what should we look out for that and what else?
Well, a tour is happening. I'll be out in the Northwest for PAX West next week. So I'll be out there when the album comes out. And with Samus and MC Lars and some of my favorite folks, or MC Frontalot. And it's going to be great. So just a lot more touring, going to Japan in September for Tokyo Game Show. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, and I'm really excited. Things are moving, and just really happy to get this record done and out. Like, I've been working on it for so long, and I'm always excited to see how the people will react and respond to it. It's hard to believe RNDM was almost 2 years ago.
It really does, because you know? I'm still I'm still rocking it like it just came out last week.
Thank you. And that's the thing. I was like, man, I want to give it some time to breathe, but I've literally given it like almost 18 months. So,
but you've been doing sidetracks too and all the stuff in between. So,
definitely. I mean, we always do side stuff. Patreon, actually, I got a track coming this week about Zelda. Come think of it. And so on Patreon is where I give people the video game stuff they want, and that I like to do. Nice. So there will be a Breath of the Wild track coming on the Patreon, which is at bitsandrhymes.com.
If only there was an ACMG Talk Time Live theme song that was coming our way too.
We should talk about that.
We should really talk about that. Much love. So, good sir, thank you so very, very much. Before we, you know, end this whole entire thing, tell our listeners, your fans, where they can find you.
Yo, you can find me at megaran.com. You can get music at megaranmusic.com. You can get merch at megaranmerch.com. And just follow me on Twitter for all the newest and the latest, which is at megaran.
Boom, boom. So, sir, thank you so very much. I know, like, it was a struggle to try to get you to get the time to get in, but I do appreciate it. It is much appreciated coming back to Talk Time Live. Believe it or not, I think it's been 2 years. It felt like forever since the last time you were here. It feels like an eternity, but man, it's good to see that within that time your status has grown immensely, and you're doing great things out there, and you're representing in every situation and format and cultural in every way. And I couldn't be more proud of you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much, man.
Not a problem. Keep up the great work. Keep positive, and man, look forward to seeing what you do next.
All right. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this very special interview, exclusive with the one and only Random, aka Megaran. Without further ado, this is Dak Xavier Josiah saying, learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, exclusive. We're out of here. Take care.
Peace.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.